Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me for another opportunity to have an in-depth conversation about health topics that you really must know about, because getting empowered with this kind of information allows you the ability to make those informed decisions. And in this day and age, we have to be educated, we have to be informed, so we know the right path for us and for our family. And we're going to have another fantastic conversation today. In fact, this is one of my favorite people. I'm going to be introducing you to Ann Louise Gittleman, who is just the author of 30 books. She is an amazing woman. In fact, let me just tell you a little bit about her. She's a top nutritionist, visionary health expert, and best-selling author of 30 books. Ann Louise Gittleman, who's a PhD and certified nutritional specialist, has always been a trendsetter in functional integrative medicine, continually breaking new ground in traditional and holistic health. She is internationally recognized as a pioneer in dietary, environmental, and women's health issues, and is known as the First Lady of Nutrition among her millions of followers worldwide. And I have to say, it's such a pleasure to have Ann Louise back on the show. It's been a long time since she's been on, and we're going to be exploring some really, really relevant and important topics, understanding how to really support your metabolism, stress, hunger, your sex hormones, but with a special twist that Ann Louise is researching, and she's about to tell us all about it. So, Ann Louise Gittleman, thank you so much for taking the time to being on the show today.
Well, thank you, Dr. Cheryl, and it's such a pleasure to be with you again, my friend.
Yes, it's always so enlightening. I love having our conversations because I learn so much. And I'm really looking forward to our conversation today because you've always been at the forefront, Ann Louise. I mean, I have to say, I picked up your book, the one I think on perimenopause, when I was in Australia. It's like it goes so far back when I first knew about you. And then, over the years, we've had a pleasure to connect and have a friendship. And that's just been really special. So you've been an influence in my life, and you've taught me so much. And you always teach me a lot. You're really there on the leading edge and getting into the truthful information, all those little bits that often get misunderstood or overlooked. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'd like you to, let's have this conversation about what you're finding as a critical piece of our health puzzle.
Well, that's a lovely opening. And what I can say is that there is a whole new trend these days, which is one that you've written about. Certainly I have championed its cause, and it's the whole concept of getting the fat back, because fat is back big time if you take a look at all of the latest books that are on the market in terms of eating fat and getting slimmer, in terms of the paleo popularity, in terms of ketogenic popularity, in terms of primal price. All of those diet trends are really focusing on making fat the most important macronutrient in the diet plan. Well, what I discovered is fat, yes, is back, and fat is important for many of us. Of course, the different types of fat depending upon your genetic predisposition, as you and I both know. But more importantly, it's not just eating fat that's the full story. The other part of that equation is being able to utilize and digest the fat so your body can have the perfect food for maximum weight loss, stress control, and fixing all of your hormones and appetite. So it's not just eating the fats, the right fats, whether it's coconut oil or whether it's butter, whether it's hemp oil or fish oil or olive oil, but it's being able to really break it down and digesting it. So I believe that the second part of the missing link in terms of why people are so overweight is that they're missing out on a major digestive element, which is bile. And I'm telling everybody, Cheryl, that bile should be your new BFF.
Well, I've always, thought about this very issue, because now that the trend is to get people to get back onto healthy fats. And I have seen so many authors and their books come through that are talking about this topic. But, you know, I know because so many people have compromised digestive issues, a lot of inflammation in their gut, and I've always told people that the gut, the little microvilli, the little projections, finger-like projections on the inside of our intestinal tract have little tiny little microvilli on the ends that are necessary for the digestion absorption of fatty acids. And if your gut is inflamed and you have damaged the lining of your gut, it's like it's eroded away and you can't absorb fats very efficiently or if at all. So it's not about taking fats, it's how well you can absorb and assimilate them.
So true, and if you're lacking the proper amount of stomach acid, which up to 75, perhaps even 90% of us seem to lack in this day and age, then you are not having a gallbladder, which is functioning well, or you may not even have a gallbladder at all, which is so imperative in terms of a steady release of bile that is essential for the digestion of fat. So what I try to do with my clients is teach them what the body's SOS signals might be, because I really believe that there are many major signs that the body is screaming at us about when it is not properly digesting fat. And that would be if you're queasy after a meal, which would show that there's impaired bile flow. Some individuals are very nauseous. A primary red flag for not enough bile. Others have very light colored or even floating stools, which signal a lack of bile output. Then you have the dry skin and hair problem, a lack of essential fatty acids because your fats are not being broken down. Many individuals that are constipated, Cheryl, have an inadequate amount of bile for lubrication. People that can't lose weight may be lacking bile or quality bile in order to digest fats and detoxify toxins appropriately. Hemorrhoids are a sign of a problem with bile because they may signal a congested liver. Then we've got the bloating, then we've got gas, a bitter taste in the mouth after meals. I mean, the list goes on and on. Even hypothyroidism, which is rampant, as you and I both know, can be a sign of a lack of bile, which is known to stimulate active thyroid hormone in fat cells. So this is a very, very wide-reaching effect of a lack of bile or the inability to digest properly because you no longer have a gallbladder, which is the storage tank for your bile output. I think it's exceedingly important, and it's really a crime that with all the interest in leaky gut absorption, food sensitivities, and inflammation, nobody but nobody, except now for me and perhaps you, are going to be talking about the importance of bile. Bile is beautiful, bile is brilliant, and bile can't be beat. You absolutely need it for the digestion of fats, the emulsification of essential fatty acids, as well as detoxification.
So that's a really powerful statement that you've just made and what you've been talking about. I think let's go back and, first of all, define what bile is for people who have heard of it, but, you know, not everyone's had their anatomy and physiology course, or explain a bit more of what it is, where it comes from, why it exists, what its purpose. Let's start there.
I think that's excellent because you have to remember that it all boils down to bile. It's my new mantra. It all boils down to bile.
And you can't eat bile, right?
It comes from meat. That's right. And it's, anyway, to very, very definitely. I think what we have to understand is that bile is not talked about, so I don't blame anybody for not knowing about this vitally important digestive fluid and method of detoxification that the body in its innate wisdom is able to produce. First and foremost, it's an emulsifier. It's almost like a type of soap for fats. So it breaks down the fat into small particles so that your intestines can absorb them. And then your liver is able to secrete, it will produce 1 quart of bile per day, and then your gallbladder will actually release the bile because, again, it's the storage tank for bile. When you eat something fat, then your storage tank is going to release the proper digestive aid so your body can utilize that. Bile is not only a very important element to digest and assimilate fats, but it's also the primary vehicle, as I'm mentioning to you, for removing toxins from the body. So it's not just important as a digestive element, but it's key in terms of getting rid of all of your toxins from the environment, whether it's petrochemicals, whether it's parasites, whether it's heavy metals, whether it's fungus, mold, yeast, bacteria. This is the way the body gets rid of it. So you have to also recognize and truly honor the fact that it is one of the liver's premier detox mechanisms, so that inadequate bile is going to go far beyond just your inability to emulsify fats or even lose weight, because if the liver can't clear up fats, then it most likely cannot break down hormones, and this is where you and I come into play, or other waste products. So women, particularly those in perimenopause or menopause, may end up with hot flashes or night sweats or cysts or migraines and depression. So the bile is very connected to the emulsification and the breaking down of hormones in the body.
What impairs the body's production of adequate bile?
A lack of the gallbladder, number one. Not having your gallbladder is probably one of them, very importantly, because whereby the liver is making the bile, there is no way to match the intake of the fats that you're eating with this particular digestive fluid, so you're getting a lot of free fat that's just flowing around in the system without the ability to be emulsified or broken down. I mean, that's one reason.
Can we just stop there? So the gallbladder is an organ that stores bile. It's its primary function, right? It's a storage gland. It's a storage organ.
It's the storage tank. It is definitely a storage tank. Right. So, and it's made, and guess what? It's made from cholesterol. That's how important cholesterol is.
The bile.
It's made from cholesterol, it's made from lecithin, it's made from bilirubin, it's made from a variety of elements, including cholesterol, yes.
Okay, so it's produced and then stored, because a gallon of bile a day, that's a lot of bile we have to make. That's a huge amount. I had no idea.
Well, it's a quart. It's actually
a quart.
Quart.
Okay. Okay. Quart.
Some of us may need, some of us quite frankly need a gallon, because we're eating so much of this fat. God only knows all the coconut oil they're putting into their coffee and so forth. So not everybody is going to break that down, as you and I know, but it is a quart a day, which is a lot if you think about it.
No, it's a lot.
And the body constantly recycles the bile, which is another reason that you need to support your metabolism and your production of bile adequately.
So this is a really important point, because the gallbladder stores it. If you do not have a gallbladder, or you do not have a functioning gallbladder, and we'll talk about those statistics in a little bit, then the bile is not able to be held and contained and provide you what you need, because it's like it's leaking out but not getting caught and stored. It's like it's just dripping, 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 and disappears and dissipates into the body without doing its major job. Is that correct,
right,
Anne Louise?
Yes, you're not matching your intake of fats, for example, or the detoxification elements with what you need in terms of the bile. That's how very important the storage tank is. It can actually time exactly when you need to be secreting bile to help and emulsify the fats that you're eating in your high-fat ketogenic or paleo diet. Yes, that's very important.
So what happens? Well, first of all, let's talk about gallbladder and gallbladder surgery, and how major a problem is gallbladder health in our country? So many people have had their gallbladders removed. I just met someone recently who's about to have their gallbladder removed. How common is this problem, this surgery?
It's becoming increasingly common. I think it is over 20 million Americans that I know have known gallbladder challenges, and so many others, you know, are just waiting to get their gallbladders taken out, and many of them have gallstones. And quite honestly, the gallbladder removal has become the most common type of surgery performed in our country. And that's because the gallstones or the bile has congealed. It's congested bile due to a buildup, which results in the formation of stones. How do you like that? It's because that bile is so gunked up with all kinds of things because you're not eating the right kind of nutrients to keep it flowing or keep it thinned out.
Wow. So the stones, the gallbladder stones that often are the cause for gallbladder surgery has to do with a bile, instead of flowing, it actually is coagulating and forming what is called stones.
Yes, and that can be due to the fact that you're not eating the right kind of nutrients, which we will be talking about, or the fact that you have very low levels of hydrochloric acid, which also signal bile production in it signals the gallbladder to release bile more adequately. So we've got many, many people that have multiple issues going on. There's not enough hydrochloric acid in the system because of deficiencies of minerals like sodium and iodine and zinc. Some people have a predisposition to a low HCl production because they are a certain blood type. Blood type A is one of those. And if you're under a lot of stress, your stomach will contract and it does not produce the kind of HCl that you need. And so there is no trigger for the gallbladder to release its bile from storage. There are a number of mechanisms that come into play with this whole issue.
And I would say probably the widespread use of proton pump inhibitors to shut down the production of hydrochloric acid in the stomach, you know, the purple pill, the Nexium, all those drugs, would be wreaking havoc on the body's ability to make adequate hydrochloric acid.
I know. I didn't even think of that. I've got to add that someplace. That's so very true. Look at everybody that's on antacids. I mean, the purple pill. For years people used Prilosec. Now I think Nexium has overtaken Prilosec as being the most prevalent proton pump inhibitor agents on the market. It's just amazing what's going on. So yeah, we've got a big problem here in terms of the whole digestive tract, which is why the whole concept of digestion and the gut are so key to overall health and well-being, far beyond just the GI tract. So I think what's key here is that if you still have your gallbladder, you're going to want to keep it, you know, as long as you can. But if you are experiencing frequent pain or frequent attacks, then you may want to explore some ways to identify what's really going on with the gallbladder. And interestingly enough, for some very odd reason, food allergies come into play with the gallbladder pain that is the underlying cause for people to get their gallbladders removed. And believe it or not, these food allergies that were identified about 40 years ago have basically gone, you know, neglected with so many people. The major offenders, when you have gallbladder pain, which has not been able to be resolved, and you're actually thinking of getting your gallbladder out, include eggs, number one. It's the biggest problem with the gallbladder. Number two is pork, and number three, believe it or not, are onions. So those are the big three that account for over 50% of most people's unresolved pain when it comes to the gallbladder.
So those three foods aggravate the gallbladder, is that what you're saying?
That's what we have found, and this has been studied way back when, you know, by a very leading allergist who identified food allergies as a primary underlying cause of gallbladder pain. And I say to myself, who knew that? I mean, that's major. And with the removal of some of these food allergen triggers, individuals can obtain probably up to 100% relief. So if your gallbladder is acting up, or you have gallbladder stones, I mean, there is hope at the end of the tunnel. And you definitely should be avoiding the top three primary offenders, eggs, pork, and onions.
Wow, that's so interesting. I didn't know that even the onion could be an offender for something like that. In fact, I didn't know that any of those foods directly will be challenging.
I never knew about it either until I started researching the allergy connection and how you need to let sleeping gallstones lie, quite frankly.
Wow. What do you recommend for people who have had their gallbladders removed so they no longer can store the bile, and the consequences when you don't have a functioning gallbladder? I'd just like to explore this a little bit more since it impacts so many people.
No, it's huge. Well, for individuals that no longer have a gallbladder, let's remember then that it's critically important to basically mimic the body's very natural output of bile by taking a supplement that's known as bile salts or an ox bile extract. So you need to do that. That's not negotiable. That's absolutely necessary. So while many of us can't duplicate the body's remarkable wisdom of knowing just when to release the exact right amount of bile, supplementation with bile extracts really go a very long way in maximizing the process, and then that will ensure that fat-soluble vitamins are being absorbed in the system as well. That is really critical. So it's one of the reasons that I felt compelled to create a supplement that has not only these critical bile salts or bile extracts in them, but also other nutrients that we know are very important in terms of producing thinned, decongested, and quality bile.
You know, you said something that I think is really important. You just talked about how when you have this impaired ability to produce bile that is essential for helping to absorb the healthy fats, we often forget that the fat-soluble vitamins, the vitamin E, the vitamin D, the vitamin K, probably a few others there, require healthy absorption, assimilation of fats. And if that system is not working, wow, we get really deficient in all these vital vitamins.
I know, and nobody's looking at that. That's why the longer somebody has their gallbladder out, the longer I find that they have a chronic deficiency of all of these fat-soluble vitamins. And it's the A, it's the E, it's the D, and the K, as you so correctly identified, Cheryl. But it's also, there's a deficiency of the essential fatty acids. So you're not getting your good omega-3s, your good omega-6s, your omega-7s, or your omega-9s. This is a very big deal, and nobody is looking at it the way they should.
It's a big deal because those nutrients are necessary for your body to function. If you do not have the ability to absorb those nutrients, you can be eating the best diet, but you are starving your cells because they don't translate into nutrition that your cells can absorb, have access to.
You know, it's so true. And if you take a look at any decent nutritional textbook these days, and if you looked at all the symptoms and all the problems that are linked with fat-soluble vitamin deficiencies, you're going to find everything from dry skin to indigestion to cataracts and cancer. So we also know that bile acts as a lubricant for your stool to prevent constipation. I say to myself, who knew? This is a really big problem, and it's gone completely under the radar, undiagnosed, unidentified, and completely ignored. And that's why I feel compelled to get the information out. But beyond that, there's also something else that I find incredibly fascinating. And that is that they now believe that bile is connected not just to the obesity epidemic, but also hypothyroidism. There have been discoveries by French researchers that fat metabolism is actually increased by the activation of thyroid hormones, which are in the fat cells. So it's felt that an imbalance of bile may be one of the reasons that hypothyroidism is so prevalent today. And many functional medicine doctors actually tell me that they diagnose many individuals with hypothyroidism who've been suffering and undiagnosed for years. And what they found is that these individuals have had their gallbladders out. So there's this direct low bile production to low thyroid function. And that's pretty incredible when you want to improve your metabolism and help your body lose weight.
And then the other piece that I've just been thinking of, when women are very estrogen dominant, so they have high levels of estrogen out of balance with progesterone and other hormones, they tend to create more gallstones and gallbladder issues.
Yes. Because the gall or the estrogen congeals, the cholesterol congeals in the bile, so you need to, all the more reasons, whenever you're taking even bioidentical hormones, you need to make sure that that bile is flowing, it's high quality, it's thinned, it's decongested, which is where a bile-friendly diet comes into play, which is very easy to implement in an everyday life.
So let's talk about a bile-friendly diet.
Yeah. Doesn't have a ring to it, but I think we should talk about it, that bile-friendly diet. Well, here's the beauty. There's certain foods that are really good for your bile. One of them is beets. You know, and beets can be grated raw in salads or they can be juiced. In the supplement that I created called the Bile Builder, we actually have included beetroot concentrate so it can be taken in a tablet form because not everybody is a beet lover. But beets contain an element called betaine, which truly is one of the most supercharged bile rebuilders. So that is a great way to get your bile flowing the way it should. So beets would be one of those bile building elements in a diet that is designed to help your gallbladder and help your liver, or if you don't have a gallbladder, to make sure that you have quality bile. The other element, which is totally forgotten in this day and time, is lecithin. I truly am a big believer in non-GMO soy or even sunflower lecithin, because lecithin is one of the primary detergent-like agents that makes up bile. So it breaks down fats and makes them very easy to digest. And it has the ability, particularly for menopausal women or hormonally challenged women, it will keep cholesterol moving through the bloodstream so that estrogen doesn't have a chance to build up in the bile itself and you have problems later on in life. So we've got lecithin, we've got beets, we've got artichokes, last but not least. They're a wonderful bile-producing food, and they have the ability to support overall liver function.
What foods contain lecithin?
Sunflower seeds, so you get the sunflower seed lecithin. Eggs, if they're free-range eggs, will contain lecithin. And, of course, soy. So that's where the non-GMO soy comes into play. And you can get that in soy granules, and I'm a believer that that should be in everybody's smoothie every day.
Oh, how interesting. You know, I have just found myself craving beets. You'll appreciate this, Anne Louise. I've been craving beets the last couple of weeks. I guess I've been reading more about beets, and so I've been buying a ton of beets, and I steam them and then slice them up and put them in with some apple cider vinegar and some onions and kind of like pickled beets, and I just can't get enough of that stuff these days.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. You're so in tune with yourself because it's liver season, so beets are very important for the bile and for the liver. It's wonderful.
Well, there you
beets, you can't beat beets, I mean, as the saying goes.
So it's something that people need to really understand should be a part of the diet for the reasons you've been helping us to understand. You know, so let's go back and let's put some of these pieces together. So first of all, you need adequate hydrochloric acid produced in your stomach to signal the release of bile. So if people are not making adequate hydrochloric acid, if they don't have enough of the key minerals, or if they are on these antacids or the proton pump inhibitors, it's all going to shut down the production of hydrochloric acid. So right at the beginning of eating, having any food in your mouth, you're not getting the right signals to facilitate digestion and all the benefits. Right at the beginning, the first, you know.
Yeah.
to put a bite
right
in your mouth.
Right from the get-go.
So the other thing is that hydrochloric acid, as many digestive enzymes, at least according to Chinese medicine, you start getting inefficient at producing these things as you get older. So you need support. You need to do things to increase the production of hydrochloric acid. That would be like step one, right, to support this whole process. So,
So
what's your favorite way for people to help build the hydrochloric acid production?
Well, either they can do a number of things. Some people do well with a little apple cider vinegar, maybe 2 teaspoons of apple cider vinegar and 8 ounces of water taken 20 minutes before a meal. That can work. Or they need to increase sodium in the diet, iodine, and zinc. Those are the 3 elements that hydrochloric acid is made from. Sodium, zinc, and what was the other one I mentioned? Iodine.
Mm-hmm. One of my teachers would always say it's important to have a little Himalayan salt in your diet because it has a lot of those minerals in it to help produce hydrochloric acid.
Yes. I would agree 101%.
And what about taking a supplement, a hydrochloric acid supplement?
Well, some of you can do that too. Some people believe in doing that. I take a hydrochloric acid supplement because if we're past the age of 40, and we have been 39 for quite a while, Cheryl.
Going backwards.
39 and holding. Yes. 39 and holding. Well, when you hit a certain age, you lose the ability to make hydrochloric acid. So even though we may be supplementing with our zinc, iodine, and sodium or salt, we may need a little extra help. And so an HCL supplement comes in very handy. Yeah, so, there's just so much you have to think about. Aging is not for sissies, as my mother once said.
It's true, and that's what we're learning about and teaching to support ourselves and, all the other people out there who want to get younger and healthier. And I think that the story of hydrochloric acid is so important because, as you are teaching us, it's a critical component of the production for bile, which has so many important jobs to do, and just enhancing breakdown of our proteins and releasing, accessing a lot of the minerals from our food. So it gets depleted, or we're doing drugs that deplete it. So hydrochloric acid is the first thing that we need to know about in this journey to better bile. And then what else?
In terms of HCL, we've got the vinegar, we've got the nutrients, or we've got the HCL supplementation. So that would be number one. And then number two, if you don't have a gallbladder, then it's absolutely imperative that you get something like Bile Builder or some type of bile salt or ox bile supplement that will give you anywhere from 50 to 100 milligrams of ox bile 3 times a day.
Okay, so that could be a really important supplement. And I think we just need to emphasize this point. Now that people are, getting so enamored with fats, and there's, people are having their bullet coffees with their butter or their coconut oil, or they're just bringing, lots of fats into the diet. And I just don't believe most people really do well on a paleo diet, a high-fat diet anyway. Because part of the reason is this very story you're telling us. It's like if you eat all the fats, that's all very well and good, but it doesn't help you if you do not have the capacity to break down, absorb, and assimilate those fats into their components. And that's the big story here. That's the really huge story I hear you telling us. It's like getting into a high-fat world is all very well and good, but it can hurt you. It can be dangerous if you don't have the all the pieces of that digestive puzzle.
Exactly. And you know that genetically, not everybody can metabolize fats, especially the saturated fats. So we're heading into big trouble if people don't get this piece of the puzzle to support their systems. So yes, I totally agree with you. You get it 101%. So there is the HCL connection. And then there's the diet connection and looking at your food allergies, which could impede the gallbladder. God willing, you still have your gallbladder, its production or storage of bile, or its ability to secrete bile, and you want to make sure that you have certain types of nutrients in your diet that allow the bile to be decongested, thin, and free-flowing, so it can move easily through the ducts, through the bile ducts. And that's where those nutrients that we spoke about, those magical foods, come into play. The beets, the artichoke, and the non-GMO lecithin.
Okay, so you said something earlier that was really intriguing to me, and that was let your gallstones lie. can you elaborate on that? I think that's a really interesting concept you're talking about, and I'd like you to explain it a little bit more.
Well, I really think what I mean by that is that you don't necessarily, if you've got gallstones, some of them can be broken down very naturally. There are protocols that can do that. So I would reduce, of course, the pain and so on and so forth. And you can do that by eliminating the big three foods from the diet, which the major offenders include your eggs, your pork, and your onions, as you and I have spoken about. And that's number one. And then number two, I really think that individuals that have gallstones that may not be giving them any problem have the ability to break them up very naturally using an orthophosphoric acid that's on the market. And in that way, they can start slowly but surely breaking up these little stones that could be congealing and building up in their systems. So this is an orthophosphoric acid. It's available under two brand names that I'm aware of. And you just have to use the product very judiciously. And probably more importantly, under the watchful eye of a healthcare practitioner that's familiar with this particular supplement and how to monitor what you're doing to break up gallstones.
So when a person starts accumulating gallstones in their gallbladder, aside from the potential of causing a lot of pain, discomfort, because the gallbladder is not functioning, what actually happens when you start getting all these stones in your gallbladder?
Oh, pain. It's exceedingly painful. You can get a gallstone stuck in the bile duct, which is not very pleasant at all. So many individuals that do those detox regimens with the apple juice and the olive oil and then the grapefruit, some of them don't just release stones from the gallbladder, but what they do is that they get the gallbladder stone stuck someplace in the gallbladder duct, which is extremely painful and can be very, very dangerous. So little by little, you wear those little stones down so that your body can excrete them naturally, and that's where the emulsification elements come into play, as well as the nutrients like choline, inositol, and methionine, which I believe are also part of some of the better bile builders on the market.
So do you think everyone should be doing bile support?
Yes, I do. Because detoxification is not just a single event anymore. It's really a daily duty, so to speak. Yeah, I really do. And the people that are using it are getting tremendous results, especially with a reduction in their fatty liver symptoms. And, you know, nearly 70 million Americans have a non-alcoholic fatty liver syndrome. So we're finding that it's very helpful for that, number one. I'm finding that this is very helpful for numerous amounts of symptoms that you never thought were related to the gallbladder. We're seeing people with sciatic-like pains, which seems to trace the gallbladder meridian, you know, getting well. We're seeing issues like hemorrhoids resolving. We're seeing varicose veins clearing up, dizziness, insomnia, bitter feeling in the mouth, bitter taste in the mouth, pain between the shoulder blades. all kinds of seemingly disconnected symptoms clear up when people do a daily bile-building supplement.
This is a really big story, Anne-Louise, because so many people are suffering either from these symptoms that you mentioned or the consequences of impaired bile flow, you know, whether it's building up the toxic load in their body or whether it's creating more, the hormonal imbalances or the weight issue. It's so interesting that this has been so neglected for so long, and yet anyone who understands bile, you know, it's obvious it plays a big role, but it has been forgotten or ignored, or I don't know, we've just overlooked it as a function that needs to be supported for all the reasons you've been helping us to understand.
Oh, it's a huge story. It's an absolutely gigantic story. It's the biggest story in the diet world as far as I'm concerned, because it impacts so many people, especially because they're on the current high-fat diet trends and not realizing that they are maybe eating the right kind of fat, but their systems are not being able to utilize them appropriately. So it's a big story. There's no question about it. And I'm just so glad that somebody like you, because you're so bright and ahead of the game here, can really appreciate how much this is a major ramification for the diet movement that we have with people being so high-fat oriented.
Right. So we need to include optimally either some real beets in our diet, the beet root in some form or other. I know there are beet powders out there that are available, and then you have formulated your bile builder product, which includes the bile salts and beet root and the choline. I think you also have taurine in there. Is that correct?
Taurine is in there. Yes. Choline is in there. Yes. A number of wonderful elements are in there.
As well as
the beetroot, as well as the ox bile extract. Yes.
Yeah. So there are simple ways for people to start supporting their bile production now that they are aware of it. And if that just means, getting some more beetroots into your diet, then start there. Make it just make sure you're consuming them on a daily basis. I think the fact that you are saying it's important to detox on a daily basis is such a key point. We just have to keep the body clearing out all the toxins that come in on a daily basis into our lives, into our body through whatever we're breathing in or eating or drinking.
It's so very important. And may I say that there's another food which I neglected to mention that just popped into my head, and that is the importance of lemon and water in the morning, because lemon has another wonderful quality. It can balance the pH and tonify the kidneys, but it also has bile thinning abilities. So that is very simple for most of us to do. You would just take the juice of half a lemon, put 8 ounces of water in the juice of half a lemon, and bingo, you've got a bile emulsifying signature cleansing drink first thing in the morning to cleanse the palate and also to set you up for detoxification for the rest of the day.
Well, that is great news, because I have been doing warm water and lemon juice for eons of time now. In fact, I just can't imagine starting my day without some fresh lemon juice or lime juice. Will lime work as well?
Yes, it does. It does. So I'm a big lime lover myself.
Oh, good. So if you just take some fresh lemons and limes and squeeze it into some warm water, you're starting the day by supporting, amongst many things, your production of bile. That's great news.
Absolutely.
I didn't know that. I knew that the lemon and warm water helps to alkaline the body and supports detoxification and gets the digestive system stimulated first thing. But now we have another benefit of why everyone should be having warm water and lemon juice in the morning. I'm just big on that strategy for people. It's a simple one to do, and it has many, many, many benefits.
Oh, it has tremendous amount of benefits.
So there you go. So so what else, Anne Louise? What else do we need to know that we haven't covered so far that you think is critically important for people?
We've covered quite a lot of ground for mostly everybody. I would say that we need to expose the fact that there are more big fat lies that are coming down the pike, and it's not just that fat is not a demonized or evil nutrient. It's really sugar, and that if you're going to be taking more fat in your diet, the friendly fats, the smart fats, the essential fatty acids, you need to be able to digest and utilize them. And we've certainly run that one, you know, from A to Z in terms of how important getting bile back into your diet or bile building elements back into your diet truly is.
Well, there was something else that you said that I think also needs a little time exploring, and that's this epidemic of non-alcoholic fatty liver. It's a huge problem, and so many people, you know, it's part of how the obesity epidemic is affecting other systems of the body. So can we talk a little bit about it, and also will increasing bile support people in healing their non-alcoholic fatty livers? And I just want to say, I remember, you know, I just remember a visual, a picture of a skinny person. They're skinny. They eat a lot of sugars, a lot of carbs. They're skinny. But when you looked inside their organs, they were all just glunked up with fat, like their liver.
Yes. Here's what I wanted to say. Here's what I wanted to say in reference to that. Fatty liver is very connected to high fructose intake. So first and foremost, we've got to get rid of a lot of high fructose foods in the diet. We all know about high fructose corn syrup. We have to get rid of agave as well, which is even higher in fructose than high fructose corn syrup. So we have an issue from that perspective. The other element that we need to look at are all kinds of fructose-containing foods in the diet beyond the agave and high fructose corn syrup, and that would be many of the fruits that so many of us love to ingest that are high fructose. So we need to look there. And then, last but not least, we need to be able to understand that there is a nutrient which is in my Bile Builder supplement, which has been found at 500 milligrams per meal is able to decongest a fatty liver and help to resolve fatty liver syndrome. And that is choline. So when you're using Bile Builder to help your body digest fats, you're also decongesting the liver. So the two of them may be directly and indirectly related, but I do think that's another important element to keep in mind. Choline will target a fatty liver.
Well, that's great because, you know, fatty liver is on your way to having your liver become non-functional. I mean, it gets so clogged up with fat, it can't perform its critical functions. You damage your liver and can create serious problems. You can lose your liver.
Oh, you can lose your liver. I know, so that's a real biggie. So Bile Builder, everybody's got to start building better bile. That's what we need to leave your listeners with. Better bile is where it's at. It's brilliant, it's beautiful, and you can't beat bile.
And how much fat do you think people should be consuming, and what fats do you think are the most beneficial?
I don't think everybody does well on coconut oil, number one. It's a highly saturated fat, maybe good for the thyroid in certain conditions, but I think many of us, as you once pointed out to me when we did our genomic testing, many individuals cannot really metabolize saturated fatty acids, so we need more of the monounsaturated fats like the olive oil I adore. I love olive oil. I love avocados, macadamia nuts, macadamia nut oil, and the like. The lighter fats, the lighter oils, I think those are very important. And a little bit of pastured butter, I think, is essential for building really strong membranes.
So the problem with the paleo diet is that for most people it introduces too many fats into their diet and many people just, as we've been talking about today, just don't have the capacity to properly break down those fats and can lead to problems down the track if they continue on a high fat diet.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean we're you know, I it's fascinating how we live in a culture that is run by trends. You know, we have fads, and we get caught up in a fad and without any specific knowledge of whether that dietary fad is actually supportive of us or not. We just get caught up in all the enthusiasm and marketing hype, and we can find out that there is no one size that fits all. We need to really appreciate what our body needs and pay attention and, you know, find a sensible middle path with all this.
I so agree with you. And I think also what's important for people to understand is that the diet fads come and go. Knowing what your genomic testing will reveal is very key in understanding what you as an individual can digest and assimilate appropriately, because not all fats are created equal, not all two people are created equal. So that's a very important element. But what we all know is we were created with a gallbladder for a reason, so you try to keep it at all costs. And if you don't have it, you have to simply mimic what Mother Nature has put in place so that when you are eating fats, you're able to digest them and metabolize them and get all the benefits from the fatty vitamins from your A, your D, your E, and your K. And you want to make sure that you have a method of detoxification, because bile is a liver detox method where all the toxins and hormones are broken down and excreted into from the system.
So I have a question for you. Do you think people should be taking a digestive enzyme that is high in lipase, which is the digestive enzyme for digesting fats?
I think it can be helpful. I'm not a real big believer in the vegetarian vegetable-based enzymes, however. I think they are made with a fungal base, and some people cross-react negatively.
Right. Okay. So, and that's how all those digestive enzymes are made?
The plant-based enzymes, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, I don't know. I don't have any more questions. You've just done such a good job of addressing this issue. I just think it's great information, Ann Louise. I really appreciate you putting all the time and energy into doing the research to help us understand a part of our body that I don't think most people really fully have appreciated before. You've certainly made me more aware of it than ever before. And
it's a darn big deal. And I think that if people take a look, and right now they can take a quick peek. We have a little Kindle out called Eat Fat, Lose Weight. And I'm going to be, at some point or another, I'm going to be releasing that into a book, so it'll be off of the Kindle Amazon Kindle store. But at this point in time, when you and I are speaking, for the next couple of weeks at least, it's going to be available. People will get the whole program in terms of what they should do as far as their bile is concerned and how they should be eating the right kind of fats and the kind of recipes and cooking oils that are most efficacious for weight loss, detoxification, stress modification, appetite regulation, and sex hormones. So there you have it. Fat is where it's at. You just have to know which fat, how to deal with it, and how to digest it.
So that will be available on Kindle. People want to go
for a limited time. So I suggest that if people are truly interested, to download the Kindle, and they can download it to any device. Any device will do.
Okay, and then the other thing I want to remind people is that they can go to your website, AnnLouise.com. There's a lot of information there, and also they can go to your store and purchase, if they want good bile support, the Bile Builder formula that you've put together.
Yes, they certainly can, and I'd be pleased if we heard from any of your wonderful listeners in your community to let us know how they're doing on the Bile Builder.
Good. Well, I hope people will actually give it a try and let you know the amazing healings and changes, transformations that have happened to them as a result. I think this is such wonderful work. Ann Louise, you're always right there on that leading edge. I so appreciate the time and energy you've put into helping us all get healthier and live longer and and get younger, which is what it's all about.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for being with us today, sharing this great information, and I'm going to stick with my warm water and lemon juice and make sure I have my beets on a daily basis. So thanks for everything, Anne-Louise. It's been terrific. I really appreciate our time together. It's been great.
Thank you. And please get to me with your address because I want to send you a complimentary BioBuilder for your wonderful work, Cheryl.
Well, thank you. I will do it immediately. and all the best to you, Anne-Louise, and all the best to my listeners. Thank you for joining me today and, you know, continuing the opportunity to just get more empowered with more knowledge. I think you probably will agree with me that this conversation with Anne-Louise really just opened up a whole new window of knowledge and insight and strategies to keep us healthy, to keep our bodies functioning, and keep us, you know, just on the path to well-being. So thank you all for joining us. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You've been listening to What Women Must Know. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.